Heavenly Father, we pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will speak directly into our hearts and minds to show each of us individually what you would have us learn or understand or see for the first time, but also that you will speak into our hearts and minds as your church in this place. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ and through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. What does Epiphany mean? Oh, well, it's come up on the screen. So, because I Googled it to see. The manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles as represented by the Magi, which of course is the reading that we've just heard from Matthew chapter 2. Epiphany is also the festival commemorating the Epiphany on the 6th of January, which is tomorrow, which I think is also the day you're supposed to take down your Christmas trees, if you haven't done so already. Epiphany is also a manifestation of a divine or supernatural being. But for the point of this sermon, Epiphany is a moment of sudden and great revelation or realization. Have you had many of those? One or two. I must admit that I just could not get why we had to have a leap year every 4 years, because I just couldn't work out how the earth was going around the sun. But every fourth year, it was, anyway, one day I had an epiphany and I suddenly worked it out and it made sense. You may have got it straight away. It took me a few years of really trying to work it out. I just couldn't get it. And there are moments like that in life. I think we mostly have them as children, don't we? When all of a sudden you think, ah, I've got it. Why couldn't I see it before? It's an epiphany. A moment of sudden and great revelation or realization. But of course, when we talk about the epiphany, we talk about the wise men coming. They weren't kings. They were given crowns in around the 6th century because it was thought that actually to worship the King of Kings, you should have kings coming to visit them, so that they needed to be wealthy and to be seen as being properly important. But they were wise men. Again, we don't know how many of them there were. We just know that they brought three gifts. A few years ago, I kept receiving Christmas cards about wise women. And one is coming up now. Three wise women would have asked directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, bought practical gifts, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and there would be peace on earth. I had another one which said three wise women would have brought a year's supply of diapers, you can tell it was made in the States, clean linens, and a casserole. Casseroles seem to feature very highly in American cooking, I'm not quite sure why. But anyway, but I'm not actually sure I agree with that anyway. Yes, it's funny. But the star appeared when Jesus was born, so how could that have been anticipated? Anyway, and it wasn't a stable that he was born in anyway. It was the living room of the house where the animal was brought in at street level and he was laid in a manger. And again, this is a folk tradition that has been built up because people couldn't work out how he could be laid in a manger unless it was a stable. So they created this stable idea, but it doesn't appear in the Bible. So for whom was the Epiphany? Well, it wasn't for the people of Judea. Judea, if I can remind you, at some stage, the whole nation of God's people was split into two, and it became the kingdom of Israel in the top and the kingdom of Judea in the bottom, or Judah in the bottom. If you visited the Holy Land, you know that Bethlehem is actually not that far away from Jerusalem. So why is it that, as we've already heard today, the shepherds came to worship Jesus and then they went around telling everybody, oh, we've seen the Messiah, we've worshipped the Christ, we've actually seen the Anointed One. It's amazing. God has been born as a baby. He's come down to us on earth. And they were really excited and they told people. So how come some 18 to 30 months later, when the wise men did arrive, there weren't a whole load of people, groupies, camping around the house that Joseph and Mary lived in, just looking for a glimpse of this child? Well, I think it's partly that actually babies are very, very interesting to their parents, and I know your focus is on your child the whole time because I've watched you for a number of weeks now, and that's right, you need to be, especially while she's so small. But actually, babies aren't quite as interesting to other people. I hate to disillusion you. And although you might say, oh, she's had so many bottles or so many dirty nappies or she said this, actually, interest wanes, particularly in a Messiah who's not doing much more than eating and burping and all the other bodily functions that babies do and making cute noises and smiling and, yeah, not quite so interesting. So the Epiphany wasn't really for the people of Judea. They just didn't get it. Nor was it for Herod or his court, nor for the chief priests and scribes of the people into whom the Christ, the anointed one of God, was born. All of them had access to the scriptures, the Old Testament. And they were, ostensibly, as the people of God, awaiting the arrival of the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, who was going to save all the people. They were waiting for him. They were anticipating his arrival. They had the scriptures, hundreds of years of writing, at their disposal, and they really knew their scriptures in a way that puts us entirely to shame. But actually, they didn't have an epiphany. So for whom was the epiphany? Well, it was for the wise men, the magi. They were Gentiles. They were not born children of God. They were like us, from other nations. They came from the east. But what made them special, and what allowed them to receive this epiphany, was that they were watching for something. They were on the alert. They were looking. They expected to see signs in the stars, and so they were continually watching them. Well, at night, because you can't really see the stars in the day, or not very often anyway. But they expected to see something, and so they were looking. They were alert. They were aware. And also, they were then prepared to put themselves out, because it wasn't exactly like hopping on a plane or a helicopter or a train. They actually had quite a long journey, and a journey that could have been quite perilous. But they wanted to go and see this child that the stars foretold. Strange, that, isn't it? The people of Judea, the chief scribes, King Herod, have this babe arrive on their doorstep, and the only people who turned up were the shepherds and probably a few other people and members of their family in the days afterwards. But these people who didn't have the scriptures, who saw a sign in the stars, were prepared to go and worship him. Why? What did they get out of it? Because I can come and say, she is so cute. But actually, she's not going to tell me a lot of details about God, is she? And babies are not giving out like parents are. They're taking all the time. So what did the wise men benefit from in going to visit this child? They really had to be prepared to put themselves out, to travel a long way at great expense and probably some hardship. And they gained nothing except the experience of spending a short period of time in the presence of a baby. Epiphany, a moment of sudden and great revelation or realization. Because they saw something in the stars that was an epiphany, that they realized something really, 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 really important had happened. The stars had aligned in such a way that it was unmistakable, and they had to go. And they realized when they saw him that this was not just an ordinary baby. Sorry, babies are not ordinary, but you know what I mean. This was a special child, and so they paid homage to him. Do we pay true homage to Jesus? Would we be prepared to put ourselves out to travel a long way at great personal expense and possibly hardship? Or are we like the people of Judea, waiting for the arrival of the Messiah to come to our doorstep and show us what we need? And do we want instant answers? Or are we prepared to wait and be patient and observe? When I was reflecting on these readings before, I then realized that the people in Acts also had an epiphany. And that's what led them to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many signs and wonders performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and generous hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So what was the epiphany that they received? Well, in part, it was actually getting to know Jesus during his lifetime. It was seeing how he died and was prepared to die a horrendous death for love, without trying to escape, without trying to duck out of it. And it was seeing how he was resurrected again. And then the other epiphany, because actually epiphanies don't usually just happen once in our lifetime. Hopefully we have a number of epiphanies throughout our lives as we continue to learn and to grasp things. The epiphany that led directly to this was the pouring out of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came in great power upon the apostles and disciples who were gathered together in fear in a locked room. But who, when they received the power of the Holy Spirit, were suddenly emboldened. They were able to speak a number of languages, or to be able to speak in their own language but be understood by people in their own mother tongue. They were able to perform miracles. And I think the glory of God shone on them. And so that was a huge epiphany. People wanted to know more, because these men who've been hiding out in an upstairs room in fear and trepidation suddenly are bold enough to go onto the streets and say, "You'll never guess what, but this has happened. And I want to tell you all about it, because it's the most exciting news you'll ever receive in your life, and it will change your life forever." And they wanted to know more. And because it wasn't just a one-day experience, because the next day they were still just as full of enthusiasm and still being just as generous with their possessions and their time, people were intrigued and told their neighbour about it, who told another neighbour, who told a workmate, and they came along to find out more. And they could see the difference in the lives of those people. And so the Lord added to their number daily. They had received a major epiphany, which makes me realize that the Holy Spirit is not an optional extra. Colin Urquhart, speaking in the 70s, said, "The sad thing is that if you took the Holy Spirit out of the Church of England, 97% of it would carry on exactly the same regardless. I think it was 97%, which is really sad, because it's that 3% that's really making the difference. When we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, when we remind ourselves to trust in God entirely and rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, great things happen. Great things happen in what we are enabled to do through the power of the Holy Spirit, but also great things happen in our lives. So the Holy Spirit is not an optional extra, but also the Holy Spirit is not something to be feared. I think that there have been things in the past that have made people slightly apprehensive about the Holy Spirit, and I'm not quite sure if I'm ready for that now. And, you know, I might have to do things that I really don't want to do. Well, it's not like being possessed. You don't end up with your head spinning round and round and round in circles, and you are still in control. You can say no. But to be honest, when the Holy Spirit does come on you in great power, you don't want to say no. You just want to say, yes, I will do whatever you ask of me. I will go wherever you ask me to go. The sad thing is that we can then start to think, oh, I'm really good at this. And we start to do things in our own strength again, rather than relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. But where the Holy Spirit is poured out in great power, we are seeing amazing things happen around the world. And sadly, most of that is in the persecuted countries, where people are in fear of their lives if they share their faith, and they do it anyway. Christ came to bring us life, and he did bring us life. But he also came to bring us life in all its fullness. And we can choose just to live an ordinary life if we want to. But actually, if we ask to be baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit, then we can live life in all its fullness. And it is amazing when we do that. Absolutely incredible. Because your heart just sinks. You can almost feel the blood pumping around your body. There is so much excitement. But there's also peace, perfect peace, no matter what is going on around you. But if we want to have an epiphany and receive this gift, then like the Magi, we have to be prepared to travel. We have to be prepared to respond, to do something, rather than just sitting there hoping that God will come to us. We actually have to go out and say, yes, I will follow you. And sometimes that's not very easy. Some of you know that I was blessed with a dog a couple of weeks before Christmas, and some of you know that I've had flu over Christmas, and I must admit that I love going for a walk with my dog, but there have been quite a few days recently when I've thought, oh, I really don't want to go out. I'm so tired, I just want to stay under the duvet in front of the fire, drinking lots of water, please. But actually, every time that I take her out, and sometimes it is a real effort and a real sacrifice and self-discipline, we've always been blessed on those walks as well, with our encounters with other people, or what we've seen of the natural world that God's created. So we have to be prepared to travel. And we also have to be prepared to pay homage. It's a word we don't hear very often. But actually, when we worship God, something happens inside us. And the more we worship God, the more we want to worship God, and the easier worshiping God and following him becomes. And like the wise men, our minds need to be alert and open, watching and expecting. Because actually, if they didn't sit up at night, they wouldn't have seen what was happening in the stars. And we can so easily miss what God is doing, because he is doing so much around us all the time. But we can walk around with blinkers just trying to get from one end of this walk to the other as fast as we possibly can to get our step count up and walk the dog. But actually, if we notice things, we see just how many good things God is doing and how beautiful this world is. So like the wise men, we need to be alert and open to new experiences and expecting God to work. Or in other words, we need to develop holy habits, which is what we're going to be doing. Because there are new ways of experiencing God, or different ways that might not have occurred to us. And so over the coming months, we will be showing you new ways of perhaps prayer that you might not have expected or experienced before, that will be like mini epiphanies. And you'll think, oh, I've never noticed that before. That actually makes a lot of sense. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you show yourself to us in new and different ways. And we're sorry that too often we walk around with our eyes half closed or focused on our phones and not focused on what you are doing or upon the beauty of your creation or spending time in relationships with you and with other people. We pray, Lord, that this will be a year of many epiphanies, many of those aha moments when we just get it, when we see you in a new way and want to see more of you and draw ever closer to you. So we give this year of our lives to you, Lord, and pray that you will continue to work in our hearts and minds, that you will continue transforming us, that we will be the disciples who keep learning, who keep pushing on, even when sometimes it is by sheer willpower alone. But also that we will find joys in those moments when we just, all we can do is just to kneel in wonder and adore you, stunned and amazed by all that you are. Lord, please pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. And if we've never been baptized in the power of the Spirit, then we pray that you will encourage us to walk into the chancel at the end of this service and seek prayer with one of our prayer partners up there. That, Lord, may we be prepared to take those steps to come to you and pay homage to you, just as the wise men did. And may we be expecting to see new things and experience new things in these coming months. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.